God is a patient God. He's very patient. He's all the power. He's all very slow to get angry. He's eventually going to become so angry to pour all his wrath on his enemies. It's no question that when we come to this section in Revelation, God is going to pour all his wrath on this world. His sole goal will be to kill and destroy. The point of the blood of humans will be horse head high for a distance of 200 miles. So we need to carefully observe how this first verse here, verse 14, begins. And so point number one is the judge. Look at verse 14 with me. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and see in the cloud one like a son of man with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. So he says, "You look and behold." There's a chronology to the events, and John actually saw this. And the first person that John sees is someone who is like the Son of Man. That turtle, Son of Man, title Son of Man, is critical to biblical prophecy. Daniel used this very title to refer to the divine person who would one day be given by God total authority to rule and reign over all peoples and nations in a worldwide kingdom. Chronology of these events, this activity here precedes that happening. Jesus Christ is nearing the actual moment when he will take over the world, and John is in heaven watching this. Before this happens, a final wrath judgment will be unleashed on the earth. Now, there are those who believe that this one who is like the Son of Man is in fact Jesus Christ himself, but we think, along with many others, that this is a very high-ranked angel who is like the Son of Man. The adverb like is a comparative Greek word, meaning this angel had a likeness to the Son of Man, but was not necessarily the Son of Man. There's no article the before the noun son, which lends itself to the possibility that it's not the specific Son of Man. Whereas another angel in verse 15 seems to describe the same kind of being. It's in verse 14, and the angel of verse 15 tells that the being of verse 14 what to do. There's no place in Scripture where Jesus Christ ever gets an order or takes an order from any angel. Context is filled with angelic beings who are very active in this final judgment. The golden crown in verse 14 is a crown of victory, Stephanos, and not a crown of royalty, diadem, which crowns the head of Jesus Christ. So our conclusion is, at this point in the Great Tribulation, as a prelude to Jesus Christ taking over the world, a very high-ranked angel appears in a Son of Man form to show that the wrath of God being poured on this earth is closely connected to Jesus Christ and fully authorized by Jesus Christ. So we suspect that this may be visible to those on earth. Keep in mind that Satan and his demons are confined to this earth so they could see this as well. Time is just about up. So he's one like the Son of Man. And we learn that John 5, 26, 27, the God the Father has turned over all life, death, and judgment to God the Son because he is the Son of Man. And what happens here is that the Son of Man authorizes an angel to appear in a prelude likeness to his final judgment. The world is about to experience the full and final wrath of God. And this is a key prelude moment to what is happening. And he's sitting on a white cloud. To actually sit on a cloud and not fall to earth with means that this is a heavenly being. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, he spoke of a moment after the tribulation when those on earth would actually see the Son of Man coming in the clouds and on the clouds and in the clouds. But in this case, this being is not coming, but sitting. The fact that this being is sitting on the cloud seems to suggest they're not quite to this point in time, but we're near. And he's wearing a golden crown of victory, not royalty. The noun crown is singular and not plural, so this is not the final victory, royal victory, but it's a key moment of victory. And the fact that this crown is golden means it's a pure victory. These are pure judgments of God. And also Satan and his demons would look up and see that a statement is being made that Jesus Christ is the victor and they are not. And he had a sharp sickle in his hand. One commentator observed that the noun sickle occurs only 12 times in the Bible, and 7 of those times are right here in these verses. The adjective sharp occurs 7 times in Revelation, and 4 of those times are also right here in these verses. sharp sickle is used at harvest time, and it makes a swift, clean cut. It doesn't take long for a sharp sickle to cut things down. And that's the point. This finale of judgment will be clean cut. It won't take that long. And then we look at verse 15, because another angel commands the first to reap in view of a ripe harvest. Look at verse 15. Another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat in the cloud, "Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." So that word ripe used here is different from the word ripe used in verse 18. The word ripe here describes something that is dried and withered. The fresh fruit is gone. It's rotten, bad harvest. The word ripe in verse 18 describes a ripeness that is at its prime and at its peak. It's fresh and it's lush. Now here's the point. The whole world has finally reached its most rotten level. It's lifeless, bad, dry, withered, and full of evil. No good fruit left. God is going to bring his final sickle of wrath into this world and be ripe for this wrath and deserve it. Then we see that this judgment is a sickle judgment on the earth. Look at verse 16. So he who sat on the earth cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now keep in mind that Satan and his demons are confined to this earth along with humans. The entire earth will experience this sickle judgment. Jesus specifically spoke this harvest judgment in connection with him establishing his kingdom for Israel in Matthew 13, 36 through 42. This specific sickle harvest has often been used to promote a grace age witnessing evangelistic outreach. It's usually connected to John 4, 34 through 38, which speaks of sowing and reaping and harvesting. But this text is not designed to be a missionary slogan for witnessing and harvesting souls. This is a passage about a very severe and pending wrath judgment that God is pouring out on this world. And this harvest is specifically connected to God's judgment just prior to Israel receiving her kingdom. Our responsibility is always to sow seed of the word of God. And then we see the harvest of this vine. Look at verses 17 through 20. Then another angel came, and out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who was authority over the fire. And he called a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle. "Put in your sickle, gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So that winepress judgment is referred to in many of the Old Testament passages. Joel seems to emphasize the utter terror of this judgment. So people don't like the concept of other people being crushed and squashed like grapes, but that is exactly what God will do, whether we like it or not. And this angel is destroying human lives. It is putting lives out. And it comes out from this judgment comes out from the temple of heaven. Very sacred judgment. It's more sacred in the view of the fact that the Son of Man is near the point of taking over the whole world. And so we see, second point, the judged. It's no coincidence that this judgment comes out of the altar. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for the sins of the people, took their wrath. They did not want Jesus Christ, so this wrath is not on the altar. It's something is coming against them. And then lastly, point number three, the judgment. And so we see in verses 19 and 20. So the angel swung his sickle across the earth, gathered the grape harvest of the earth, and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia. That is about 184 miles. And so when it comes to prophecy, we've got a judgment here that's ferocious. No prophecy is of private interpretation, which means there will be other prophecies that will agree with every true prophecy. And what's described here in Revelation is graphically predicted by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 34, 1 through 3 and verse 6. The judgment is so ferocious here that the blood of humans will cover an area of almost 200 miles and be 4 to 5 feet deep. So there's never been anything like this anywhere in history. There'll be a massive slaughter that will take place in this heavenly harvest. So keep in mind that just prior to the judgment, there's one last invitation of grace that's been offered to the world. God uses an angel to fly in mid-heaven to communicate to people that they need to believe on Jesus Christ to be saved, because his wrath is on the way.